on the job wants to flex his muscle. Looks like he'll fire us all until he gets what he wants. I told Susan Penn to take the job to stop the bleeding.
So the FBI should know about Backman real soon.
Today, I would guess. Not sure what they'll do when they find out where he is. They're weeks away from an indictment. They'll probably just screw up our operation.
Where is he?
Don't know.
Come on, Rusty. Things are different now.
The answer is no. End of story. I'll keep you posted on the bloodletting.
An hour later, the White House press secretary met with the press and announced the appointment of Susan Penn as interim director of the CIA. He made much of the fact that she was the first female to hold the position, thus proving once again how determined this president was to labor diligently for the cause of equal rights. Luigi was sitting on the edge of his bed, fully dressed and all alone, waiting for the signal from next door. It came at 14 minutes after 6 a.m. Marco was becoming such a creature of habit. Luigi walked to his control room and pushed a button to silence the buzzer that indicated that his friend had exited through the front door. A computer recorded the exact time, and within seconds, someone at Langley would know that Marco Lazzari had just left their safe house on Via Fondazza at precisely 6:14. He hadn't trailed him in a few days. Simona had been sleeping over. He waited a few seconds, slipped out his rear door, cut through a narrow alley, then peeked through the shadows of the arcades along Via Fondazza. Marco was to his left, headed south, and walking at his usual brisk pace, which was getting faster the longer he stayed in Bologna. He was at least 20 years older than Luigi, but with his penchant for walking miles every day, he was in better shape. Plus, he didn't smoke, didn't drink much, didn't seem to be interested in ladies and the nightlife, and he had spent the last 6 years in a cage. Little wonder he could roam the streets for hours, doing nothing. He wore the new hiking boots every day. Luigi had not been able to get his hands on them. They remained bug-free, leaving no signal behind. Whitaker worried about this in Milan, but then he worried about everything. Luigi was convinced that Marco might walk for 100 miles within the city, but he wasn't leaving town. He'd disappear for a while, go exploring or sightseeing, but he could always be found. He turned onto Via Santo Stefano, a main avenue that ran from the southeast corner of Old Bologna into the thick of things around Piazza Maggiore. Luigi crossed over and followed from the other side. As he practically jogged along, he quickly radioed Zellman, a new guy in town, sent by Whitaker to tighten the web. Zellman was waiting on Strada Maggiore, another busy avenue between the safe house and the university. Zellman's arrival was an indication of the plan moving forward. Luigi knew most of the details now, and was somewhat saddened by the fact that Marco's days were numbered. He wasn't sure who would take him out, and he got the impression that Whitaker didn't know either. Luigi was praying that he would not be called upon to do the deed. He had killed two other men and preferred to avoid such messes. Plus, he liked Marco. Before Zellman picked up the trail, Marco vanished. Luigi stopped and listened. He ducked into the darkness of a doorway just in case Marco had stopped too. He heard him back there, walking a little too heavily, breathing a little too hard. A quick left on a narrow street, Via Castellata, a sprint for 50 yards, then another left onto Via de Chiari, and a complete change of direction from due north to due west, a hard pace for a long time until he came to an opening, a small square called Piazza Cavour. He knew the old city so well now, the avenues, alleys, dead ends, intersections, the endless maze of crooked little streets, the names of every square and many of the shops and stores. He knew which tobacco stores opened at 6 and which waited until 7. He could find 5 coffee shops that were filled by sunrise, though most waited until daylight. He knew where to sit in the front window behind a newspaper with a view of the sidewalk and wait for Luigi to stroll by. He could lose Luigi anytime he wanted, though most days he played along and kept his trails wide and easy to follow. But it was the fact that he was being watched so closely that spoke volumes. "They don't want me to disappear," he kept saying to himself. "And why? Because I'm here for a reason." He swung wide to the west of the city, far away from where he might be expected to be. After almost an hour of zigzagging through and looping around dozens of short streets and alleys, he stepped onto Via Inario and watched the foot traffic. Bar Fontana was directly across the street. There was no one watching it. Rudolph was tucked away in the rear, head buried low in the morning paper, pipe smoke rising in a lazy blue spiral. They hadn't seen each other in 10 days, and after the usual warm greetings, his first question was, "Did you make it to Venice?" "Yes, a delightful visit." Marco dropped the names of all the places he had memorized from the guidebook. He raved about the beauty of the canals, the amazing variety of bridges, the smothering hordes of tourists. A fabulous place. Couldn't wait to go back. Rudolph added some of his own memories. Marco described the Church of San Marco as if he'd spent a week there. "Where to next?" Rudolph inquired. "Probably south toward warmer weather. Maybe Sicily, the Amalfi Coast." Rudolph, of course, adored Sicily and described his visits there. After half an hour of travel talk, Marco finally got around to business. "I'm traveling so much, I really have no address. A friend from the States is sending me a package. I gave him your address at the law school. Hope you don't mind." Rudolph was relighting his pipe.
"It's already here. Came yesterday," he said with heavy smoke pouring out with the words.
Marco's heart skipped a beat. "Was there a return address?"
"Someplace in Virginia."
"Good." His mouth was instantly dry. He took a sip of water and tried to conceal his excitement.
"Hope it wasn't a problem." "Not at all."
"I'll swing by later and pick it up."
"I'm in the office from 11 to 12:30.
"Good, thanks." Another sip. "Just curious, how big is the package?" Rudolph chewed on the stem of his pipe and said,
"A small cigar box, maybe."
A cold rain started at mid-morning. Marco and Hermano were walking through the university area and found shelter in a quiet little bar. They finished the lesson early primarily because the student pushed so hard. Hermano was always ready to quit early. Since Luigi had not booked lunch, Marco was free to roam, presumably without being followed. But he was careful just the same. He did his loops and backtracking maneuvers and felt silly as always. Silly or not, they were now standard procedure. Back on Via Zamboni, he drifted behind a group of students strolling aimlessly along. At the door to the law school, he ducked inside, bounded up the stairs, and within seconds was knocking on Rudolph's half-opened door. Rudolph was at his ancient typewriter, hammering away at what appeared to be a personal letter.
"Over there," he said, pointing to a pile of rubble covering a table that hadn't been cleared in decades. "That brown thing on top."
Marco picked up the package with as little interest as possible. "Thanks again, Rudolph," he said, but Rudolph was typing again and in no mood for a visit. He had clearly been interrupted.
"Don't mention it," he said over his shoulder, releasing another cloud of pipe smoke.
"Is there a restroom nearby?" Marco asked.
"Down the hall on your left."
"Thanks. See you around." There was a prehistoric urinal and 3 wooden stalls. Marco went into the far one, locked the door, lowered the lid, and took a seat. He carefully opened his package and unfolded the sheets of paper. The first one was plain, white, no letterhead of any kind. When he saw the words, "Dear Marco," he felt like crying. "Dear Marco, needless to say, I was thrilled to hear from you. I thanked God when you were released, and I pray for your safety now. As you know, I will do anything to help. Here is a smartphone, state of the art and all that. The Europeans are ahead of us with cell phone and wireless internet technology, so this should work fine over there. I've written some instructions on another sheet of paper. I know this will sound like Greek, but it's really not that complicated. Don't